everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's a someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama.
Yes. I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Nothing they can play against and make us ask to win. That's our framework. That's our MO with the team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the Tide, Honey Badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast.
Powered by Bama Hammer. Tom, all of a sudden, it's spring practice. So why don't we do a little two-part series? We'll do a couple of the key things that we're looking for on offense, a couple of key things we're looking for on defense. We will specifically exclude quarterbacks because we're going to come back and do an all-quarterback show. You know, why don't we do what we do? We'll do some things that are mainline topics, mainstream topics, and we'll do a couple things that are maybe a little under the covers that you won't see written about anywhere, but maybe you'll hear us weigh in on some opinions. How's that sound?
Sounds good, man. I'm ready to go.
Fantastic. Why don't you start us off and jump into offense? What's something you're really looking forward to see play out during spring drills on the offensive side of the ball?
Man, you know, 2 years ago, we talked about the loss of Michael Williams. We talked about how he played three positions and how we really didn't have anybody that was going to be able to step in and fill his shoes. This year, that player is Jostin Fowler. I wish somehow we had 1 year left to that guy coming back because he's a big hole to fill. And I'm anxious to see who's going to step in and assume that Michael Williams, Jostin Fowler role and wear three different hats at one time during the football game.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at some of the things that I put down and I could kind of flow into one of two areas because I think, and that just speaks to really what you're going for, right? His versatility, right? In the man of one person or in the person of one man, you know, he was able to do multiple things. And so when I look at even how do I want to advance that topic, what position do I want to talk about that under? You know, halfback, fullback, tailback, tight end. I think, and we talked about this a little during the recruiting show, but I think it's going to be interesting kind of in that vein because we are going to miss a player like Jostin. I think it's going to be interesting to see how quick a player like Bo Scarborough, look, clearly he's athletic, but how quick can he learn that many different, you know, positions, so to speak? Because I think he's the answer. I just don't think we're going to see like the full expression of that answer this spring and maybe not even in the fall. It may be next year before we start to see that. And that's going to be a little bit frustrating because we've been so used to the multi-talented Jostin Fowler.
No, absolutely. And it's kind of like in that position, Jostin Fowler and Michael Williams had been with the program for a while, and These were both very intelligent guys. You know, one's already in the pros, and the other one will be before in the very near future. And so kind of like on defense where you don't, you know, it takes a while to learn the defense, and guys aren't able to start as freshmen because they just can't grasp it all. I think you're going to see two or three guys in that spot trying to do what they do. And trying to have the sum of parts be as close as possible to a Jostin Fowler. So I think you see a Scarborough, doing one role of those three hats. You know, I think you might see, you know, Michael Nyswander come in and do, you know, what he knows he can do, which is be the traditional fullback, right? And then you're going to see yet a third guy, and it'll be fun to see who that's going to be. Do more of the pass catching at the goal line for touchdowns like Jostin was able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Saban in his, in his press conference coming out of, you know, day one of practice talked about how quickly are they going to really develop Scarborough and what all are they going to do with him. And, you know, Saban tried to be a little cagey in his response, but his, you know, once you kind of learn to kind of read the Saban tea leaves, you can see the trail that he left, I thought, pretty obviously. And he said, look, you know, we're going to – and it's just like you said, right? We're going to bring him along. We're not going to teach him every dynamic element. We're not going to teach him multiple positions. He's going to start out at tailback, and we're going to teach him the position of tailback. Oh, by the way, we don't have a Jostin Fowler on the roster. And oh, by the way, we do have Michael Nyswander on the roster who can play, you know, that that halfback position. So clearly you see the dots connect of what we want to do with Bo. It's just going to be a function of how quickly we're able to do that. You know, I've already said I don't think it's going to be immediate. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how he lines up in A-Day. And again, we've got a couple of weeks for this. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, I think clearly we're going to give him the ball running. But what sort of plays do we script? Do we layer in to see him catch the ball, to see him maybe in motion? I think the answer lies there, because if you start to turn to, you know, well, we'll just play, you know, Michael Nyswander. You know, I guess we did with Kelly Johnson a couple of years ago, but it just doesn't seem like that's where we want to go with that position. And I've got nothing against Michael. He's doing something that, you know, both of us wish that we could. I just, you know, it's not what we need at that position to win in the SEC over the long haul. So, like I said, it's going to be fun to see how it plays out with Bo.
No, absolutely. What is something that jumps out for you that you're looking to see on offense?
Well, I'm going to keep sort of in the theme that we're talking about with this one player that can do multiple different things. And I'm going to stay in that hub, and I'm going to talk about tight end. This is a real critical area, I think, that we need to develop this season. You know, we know what O.J. Howard can be, but he's been a little limited. He's been contained. He's been limited as a blocker. And when we do bring him in, you know, kind of third and long situations, it's kind of predictable. And we've talked about that during the season. So we really need to see him develop another element to his game if we're really going to see the top-end production from him. But you mentioned Michael Williams is a guy that we've struggled to replace, and you and I have sort of beat that horse, right? Trying to find who's going to be the next Michael Williams. Well, I'm scratching my head now wondering who's going to be the next Brian Vogler. You know, Michael Williams is a dream, right? Who are we going to get to replace Vogler? Someone that was capable in the passing game, capable in the running game with his block. I mean, he wasn't an all-star at it, but he really worked and developed and refined his skill there. Right now, it looks as if we really don't have a tight end that can do both. And Ty Forney-Smith is just really going to have to step up. And this spring, you know, maybe when I put the question mark on tight end, maybe it's really more granularly a question about Ty Forney-Smith, because we really need production, multifaceted production at this position. We need to see something grow out of spring here pretty quickly.
Sure. And you know what's interesting about the tight end position is it just doesn't seem like Alabama uses the strength they have. They don't seem to really incorporate the talent that they have as well as they really should. Right. What I mean by that is I know Brian Vogler got, you know, banged up some at the end of the season, but dude, just for his pro day, just ran a, you know, 40 time in like 4.79 or 4.8 something. You know, like all the NFL scouts were like scratching their head at how good of a pro day he had. They were expecting this lumberjack come there and run a 5.240, and you know, this guy's got no shot, and he kind of blows him away in the pro day.
Right.
And my point of mentioning that is that the boy ran like a 4.79 40. Let me say that again. I didn't think he could run a 4.79 40.
No, I didn't either.
And so I'm thinking, why did we never use him in a game to take advantage of a 4.79 40? You see where I'm going with this? It's like O.J. Howard, Brian Vogler, other guys that we've had, even Michael Williams, I don't think we got the ball to him as much as we should have. An athletic kid that played basketball in high school that, you know, that was his first love to start with, very athletic. And so it's almost like we're never going to have that guy to catch 30, 40 balls at tight end. That's just not going to be the thing we do at Alabama.
No.
And so it makes you wonder how we even get an O.J. Howard or how we even get the JUCO kid in light of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a fair question, right? And especially with Howard, right? I mean, he's the guy that wanted to recruited as a wide receiver. And so you talk about his capability and his skill set, even relative to Vogler, and we've not been able to sort of work him in. Now, I agree, we need somebody that can block, and I think Vogler, was functional in that area, and so we kind of went with that. I wouldn't downplay his injury, last season. I think he was banged up pretty good, and obviously this offseason has done well for him. But, you know, we talked about during even recruiting, who do we potentially even move over to the tight end position? And I see where Brandon is actually moving back to the offensive line. So we're going to try to slide him back in and let him compete at tackle. But Johnny Dwight, a redshirt defensive lineman from last year's recruiting class, is getting a shot at tight end. And I think he goes about 6'2", right at about 300 pounds. So he's a little shorter than what we'd like. I don't know how quick and nimble he is, maybe getting out and running routes, but he at least gives us some beef in a blocking type situation. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops. You know, Michael Williams, I mean, didn't we say that he moved over from a defensive end early in his career? So I'm not projecting the same type of trajectory for Johnny Dwight, but getting him early enough in his career, and this is just an experiment. We don't know if it's going to, we always do that kind of in the spring and early fall camp. So this could be off or not, but and it's an interesting that, and we talked about it recruiting, this is a position where we identified it as a miss, and we think we're going to load up in recruiting next season. But we've got to do something about it this season. And the tight end position, and I want to be careful that I'm not being too hyperbole here, because clearly the quarterback's the best position or the most influential positions, and there's others as well. But we need to talk about a tight end that is versatile enough to play a role in the passing game as well as the running game with the blocking. And then you sort of overlay that with an offense that's going to have three new starters on the offensive line, a new quarterback, a new halfback, essentially three brand new receivers. I mean, that's a recipe for, a 6-6 season for some teams, right? And so we're Alabama. We don't have 6-6 seasons, kind of knock on wood. And especially, in this era, that we don't even look at that. We don't even bat an eye at those kind of losses. But, as much as it's going to take to overcome those, I do think the tight end position will play a critical role in how we manage the overcoming process.
Well, what's interesting is that typically when you have a new quarterback, right, his safety blanket is that tight end.
Yep.
At least that's the case in the pros, right? And so that 6-7 yard out to that mammoth tight end is what that quarterback's best friend. Well, we had two quarterbacks in consecutive terms at Alabama that each played 3 years. And then we get Blake Sims, who deserves to win the starting job, brand new quarterback, and we still didn't incorporate the tight end. I mean, their safety blanket right there, right? And so, with the splashes that we have seen OJ do in like the LSU game, you see that one play on tape and you're like, this guy should be getting the ball two or three times a game.
Yep.
And so I really don't understand it unless Lane Kiffin just said, we're going to ride the Amari Cooper horse and we're just going to ride it.
Well,
so maybe now real quick that your star's gone, everybody's got to step up, and maybe that's what's going to allow O.J. Howard the opportunity that he needs.
Yeah, and see, it is kind of circular that way, right? Because, not only does, Kiffin sort of have his approach, but, we also were breaking in, a quarterback that needed to develop some comfort. And so let's go to the best wide receiver in the country repeatedly. And look, he was open quite a lot too, right? I mean, and so in some respects, you have to understand why we did that. Certainly with that not in play, and obviously a different quarterback as well. But with Amari not in play, there's a lot of catches to be had, and I suspect that Howard will get his fair share of them. I just think for him to see more time on the field, he's got to beef up his blocking. And we have to find someone else because we do play a lot of two tight end sets. And, you know, we don't need OJ to be so predictable that when he's in, we're passing and, you know, most likely passing to him. But we need him to be able to be on the field in a two tight end set, still run the ball. And then the other tight end needs to be capable in terms of going out in motion and catching some passes too. And that was kind of the book on Florney Smith. And so, you know, I look forward I'm going to be bullish on the position. This is a concern that I have in spring, but I'm going to be bullish. You know, we look at, you know, sort of the history of Colin Peake and Preston Dial and Brad Smelly and Brian Vogler. And we've always kind of found that guy. And I'm quite hopeful that Florney is just kind of emerge this season and be ready to go for us.
Okay.
Talk about another key item that you're watching on offense.
Man, I really want to talk offensive line, but I just can't help but to go back to my boy Chris Black. You know, I know our Darius Stewart was definitely shining. You know, when he had opportunities as well, but last year I was really disappointed in the depth of the wide receiver position. You know, DeAndre White's another kid that really just had a really good combine, had a nice pro day, has probably done well for himself. And so you look at this and you're like, you know, the kid caught 20 passes last year as a fifth year, you know, senior wide receiver. So I'm anxious to see the depth of these great recruits that we've had, you know, come to fruition. I truly believe that if we can have I think if the quarterback that wins the position, I know we're not talking about quarterback,
sure,
but we need a quarterback.
Someone's going to win.
Whoever wins this position needs to be your prototypical drop back, five-step drop, survey the field, strong arm, and pick defenses apart to utilize the wide receivers that we have. And if that happens, then I think you're going to see some good things from Robert Foster, Chris Black, and Cam Sims. So of those guys, who am I really looking to shine? Chris Black.
Because
Chris Black was the highest rated receiver in that class with Amari Cooper. And I'm ready for him to have that year like I expected him to have last year.
I think that's fair. I think that you know, it's gonna be interesting to see how we play that, right? You know, we had certainly a go-to guy last year, and we don't know who the go-to guy is this year. It could be Chris Black. It could be Calvin Ridley coming in with all his talent. It could be Cameron Sims. It could be, you know, it could be any number of guys. And so that's going to be compelling. That's going to be interesting. I wonder if we don't win in the receiving game more with combination routes to try to create open spaces and then have the quarterback distribute the ball. Ardarius Stewart's the name that I was slipping on just a second ago, and have the quarterback just really distribute the ball. And it's a cliche in sports, and I almost don't want to use it, but sometimes, you know, sometimes there's addition by subtraction. You'd always rather have a Julio Jones or Amari Cooper on your team. You would just always rather have that.
Right.
But there are times, right, though, when you will catch, and maybe this happens more in basketball, right, when you have just a superstar player like that, you will catch other people watching them play instead of them moving without the ball. And so, you know, the analogy is not perfect, but it's similar. You know, you have receivers that say, I'm the third option on this route. I'm not getting the ball because, you know, the first two options are both Amari, and I'm the third option on the other side of the field. I'm not getting this
right
ball. And that can impact how you run that route, right? And so if truly the quarterback is just going to distribute the ball to whoever's open, then you always have to be alert. You always have to make that cut, that break just right. You always have to have your eyes, you know, open and looking for the ball. And so there could be some of that that could play out. And that's going to be interesting because, you know, like we said, there's going to be a lot of passes to go around. It's just, and it's going to be, you know, open competition to see who gets who gets a big share of them.
No, absolutely. What else jumps out at you on an offense? Anything on the offensive line that you're keying on?
Yeah, I had that down is definitely something I wanted us to talk about. We're replacing three starters across the offensive line. That's always a big deal. 60% of your guys there, and so left tackle in both guard positions. We've also got Grant Hill out on a medical leave, and some of the terminology there, we'll just have to see how that plays out. But the terminology is not promising, that he's subject to be back just any minute. It could be an extended. And so the fact, and we talked about this during the season too, right, that we were playing a lot of guys in offensive line, and that's going to bode well for our future. Well, we expected Grant Hill to be amongst the starting five this next season. And so you could reason, if you wanted to do this, right, you could reason that, and I think he was one of our swing linemen last year too. So we're losing three starters and a swing lineman. So you could say that, maybe we're down four linemen. It would be an interesting way of looking at it. Look, I think Dominic Jackson and Bradley Bozeman are going to compete for the right tackle spot. I'd throw a little Brandon Green in there too, because he's moving back from the tight end position. We have recruited a lot of guards the last Bozeman, Pierce Barker, Shank, Hassenauer, who's probably more of a true center, but we could plug him in at guard. And so, but with both guard positions being open, man, that's going to be some bloody competition to see who earns those spots, because that's going to be musical chairs, right? So the music's going to stop and somebody's going to be without a starting guard position, but a couple guys are going to get it. That's going to be some good competition.
Well, it is, and you mentioned Brandon Green moving back, because a couple of years ago I was pretty high on his ability to be one of the starting five, and so it makes you wonder, due to the discussion we just had about tight end and how much we have a two tight end set, and at the goal line we have a three tight end set, right? Brandon Green was very capable with his big frame to come in as a six offensive lineman and come in on goal line situations. And so you wonder, is Brandon Green seeing an opportunity to play more and wants to seize that? I doubt it, because that just is not how things happen at Alabama. And so for them to move Brandon Green back to offensive line is very curious, because they don't have two guys at tight end right now. And you could argue that Brandon Green and OJ Howard is your best two options, right, at the tight end position right now on run situations. So for them to move him back to offensive line is very interesting, in my opinion.
I think it's his best opportunity for prolonged playing time and not just, situational, if he can earn, the starting right tackle spot. I think he is a fair shot of doing it too, because he's had, some playing time on the line and blocking. So I give him, a fighter's chance at winning the job. I probably think that Dominic Jackson wins it, but we're talking about these guys at guard, Shank and Pierschbacher in Bozeman. I tell you what, if Brandon Green steps up and declares and plants his flag at the right tackle position, one of these guards is going home, because Dominic Jackson will just step over and take that position.
That's what I was going to say is that right now there is no big tight end option. Ryan Vogler was not a great blocking tight end. He was okay, but he was not Michael Williams.
No.
So my point of that comment was, by taking Brandon Green and putting him back in the offensive line mix, you take out probably your best run blocking tight end on the roster that I'd at least like to have in there next to a tackle on a third and one.
Well, no. No, listen, I hear what you're saying. I think that in that situation, you would just bring your first guard in off, and you'd go, for example, right guard, right tackle.
Sure.
And just bump Brandon Green out. And then, oh, by the way, we could do a tackle eligible with a tackle who's played some tight end. So I think that we would get the same, and this is why maybe I didn't respond to it the first time you said it. I think we'll get the same sort of outcome. It's just he won't be wearing a tight end hat. He'll just be wearing a left, you know, a right tackle hat.
I think the fact that they're moving him back is a better sign that they think they need Dominic Jackson to man the left guard position, in my opinion.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
I think that they're like, we really need Brandon Green to try to win right tackle so that we can do something else with Dominic Jackson.
Okay. Interesting. Because I think Bozeman and Piersbacher, and then Shank, I don't want to rule him out either. I think those are three good options at guard. It sounds like you're saying they're not good enough, that we hope Dom can chip in at guard while Brandon Green takes tackle. Is that what I'm hearing?
Either that or they want Dominic Jackson to have some competition.
That's fair. That's fair.
Either that or they don't see enough competition at the spots the way they're laid out.
Well, and that's fair too, right? If you think about it, you know, you want more than just two tackles. You want to have, you know, I mean, especially with Grant Hill not being there, you need an extra tackle. And so if Dominic can play swing guard and tackle, but there's no one backing him up at tackle, then you kind of are in a pickle.
Right.
So not only from a competition standpoint, but just for depth on the roster, So, you know, if you bring Brandon Green in, then you've got a little bit of both, right? You've got some competition as well as, you know, some depth there. What I think we'll see, and this is kind of, you know, this almost goes without saying, but, you know, we'll put it out there. We're going to see a lot of shifting, a lot of players, a lot of maybe even awkward, like, why are we playing Ryan Kelly at tackle? I never would have predicted that. Well, we're going to put our best five out there, and we're going to experiment like heck during spring to find out who those are. And I would predict that whoever comes out of spring as the starting five, I would, you know, bar an injury or, you know, whatever, I would, you know, I'd put a hundy down that that's the starter in Dallas against Wisconsin.
Well, to your point, it will be interesting just because of the pure number of guys that we have with open spots.
Right.
Definitely. Anything else on offense before we flip to defense?
Is there something that really just jumps out at you?
I'm surprised you didn't talk any Kenyon Drake, to be quite honest with you. I mean, at least give the listeners 15 seconds on Drake, because I know you can't hold it in until till August.
No, we'd have to do a Kenyon Drake show. I would just have to sit and mutter his name in a dark room or something. Man, the fact that he is back, he ran a 4.4 40 is the team just recently, you know, test speed drilled the players. You know, one thing I like that I think Saban was right is, you know, his speed's not sustainable because he's not been in the training. Or, I mean, he's been going through the training, but just because he's coming back from injury, he doesn't have sort of the reserves, if you will, that the other guys do. But he's going to get that back. If he's running a 4.4, he's feeling pretty good, right? And that is a dynamic element that he brings to our offense that we lacked. Why we didn't try to do something with our Darius and why we didn't try to recreate that dynamic somewhere else, I don't know. But, man, having him on the field, that I very much look forward to. I almost just want to put him on ice in the spring, right? He needs to be on a pitch count. But I do look forward to him being back, because I just think he brings a lot. I think he brings a lot to the table.
Well, I definitely think that he will provide a very contrasting style to Derrick Henry, and give teams something totally different to prepare for. And we definitely need that contrast. Gotcha. Hey, flip the field to Dempster. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, man, if you think about, you know, sort of the battering ram of Derrick Henry with some Bo Scarborough sprinkled in, and then you run around the edge with Kenyon. I mean, we saw that to a degree last year. You know, Yeldon was sort of a hybrid. He was a little bit bruiser, a little bit, you know, speed. I think when you take Bo and Derrick, they're both sort of the big power backs. And really then the contrast to Drake is just that much more stark.
yeah, I'm excited about what you know, what he can do for the offense. So that's truly exciting. Hey, why don't we break now, and then we'll come back and in a second show we'll do a part two on defense. Is there anything critical on offense? I mean, there's a million things, right? We could do this for, you know, for a week, right? But is there anything kind of top of mind that you have on offense?
No, I think that's the biggest things that I'm looking to see.
Yeah, I want to see Taron Jones get out of suspension. I don't know how that happens, but you know, we'll see. Hopefully he's back before it's all said and done. But why don't we put a wrap on this? Check us out on iTunes. Leave us an authentic review there, and we'll cover it on the air. And Tom, we'll come back and do defense.
All right, man. Sounds good.
It's been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.